Hello, this is Dr. David Mackworth here, the medical doctor who has been fighting a legal battle with the government of the United Kingdom for the last 4 years over my sacking from the Department for Work and Pensions because of my refusal to use transgender pronouns. Now, I was very clear at the time that the reason I could not use these pronouns was because of my firm conviction and belief in Genesis 1:27, where we read that God has made mankind in his image. He's made us male and female. And even if we don't consider science, then we need to consider that the Bible or the theological aspect of this is that sex cannot be changed. A person, once they are born, male or female, remains that for the rest of their life. And puny man has not got the tools or the necessary knowledge or the ability to change a person's sex. Now, of course, science does back that up. So it's not simply a matter of my faith, although my faith comes first, my faith in Jesus Christ as my saviour. But even so, I have to live by that faith. I have to strive to live honestly before God in these matters. And so the question that was asked me at the time was, would you refer to a 6 foot tall person who was obviously male and with a beard, would you refer to them as Mrs. or she? And the answer was, as a Christian in good conscience, I cannot. As a result of that, I lost my job. And then 3 years ago, we went to an employment tribunal, and the ruling was absolutely hammering towards us, because it was ruled that my belief in the Bible, my belief in historical Christianity, my belief that we are male and female created in God's image, was incompatible with human dignity and not worthy of consideration in a democratic society. Now, that is legal speak, for your beliefs are as vile, as bad, and as unacceptable as Nazism. But this is historical Christianity. How can a court make such a ruling? Well, this court did, and for the last 3 years, we've had to live with the knowledge that the courts have declared me to be on a par with the Nazis. So what happened 3 months ago in the Employment Appeals Tribunal that we attended in London, when we sought to overturn this and we sought to establish protection in law for the Christian faith? What happened was that extensive arguments were made that I should be considered as a racist, as somebody on a level with the Nazis because of my refusal to use transgender pronouns. Now, finally, 3 months later and nearly 4 years or 4 years since I lost my job, we have a ruling from the Employment Appeals Tribunal, and the ruling is as follows. On the one hand, my beliefs are protected because it is allowable to believe that God made the world, and it is allowable to believe that he made us male or female, and it is allowable to believe that he made us in his image. But on the other hand, these beliefs are not protected because they are not to be protected by the Equalities Act here in the United Kingdom. And therefore, although they have said these beliefs are protected, they've also said these beliefs are not protected. Now, I could say that that would be like having your cake and eating it, in my opinion, as the person who has been the focus of the court's ruling. But to me, it's more like getting a fork and flicking the cake over the hedge. Because essentially, this puts us still in a situation where Christianity, Christian beliefs, Christian doctrine, historical Christian doctrine is rejected when it comes to protection under the law in the United Kingdom. What has happened is that over the last several years, transgenderism and transgender ideology has come in like a flood. And suddenly we're all expected to believe it. In fact, the first court ruled that we were all to believe in transgenderism. And as a Christian, I cannot believe it because there is no evidence to support it and because it goes directly against what God has said. And so the court comes along and it says, well, transgenderism is the doctrine which is above other doctrines, is the worldview which must not be crossed in any way, and that this worldview therefore has the ability to overthrow other worldviews, and that includes historical Christianity. Now, this is very concerning. It's concerning because, as Christian Concern and the Christian Legal Centre have already pointed out, and I strongly recommend that you go to their website and look for their press release on my case, they've already pointed out that this means that a Christian can still be dismissed from their employment on the flimsiest grounds without any protection whatsoever, simply because of what they believe. And therefore, whilst we have gained something, we're no longer to be considered as Nazis under the law. Yet we have also gained nothing in so much as we are no longer considered, or we're still not considered, worthy of protection. Now, I would argue that the Equalities Act shows us, or was brought into being, to stop this kind of scenario, to stop a scenario whereby one group of individuals in a minority, for example, can be crushed by another group on the grounds of ideology or worldview. And in this situation, as a Christian holding historical Christian beliefs, we are to be considered as less worthy of protection than other ideologies, other worldviews. I wouldn't call Christianity an ideology, I would call it the truth. And I love the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. Well, this is of great concern. Now, one of the things that the court brought up was this. And they said that other Christians did not believe what David believes. And the implication of this seems to be that I'm on my own. I'm standing alone and nobody else is standing around me. That I'm a nutcase, I'm an idiot or something like that. But I'm just in a minority of one. Now, my understanding of the law is that if I say I'm a Christian, the judges aren't allowed to question that. So even if I was in a minority of one, my beliefs should still be protected under the law and afforded the same protection that other beliefs are afforded. Now, the thing here being this, that they said other Christians. Now, my understanding is that some high-powered theologians who I don't know got involved. And when they heard about my case, they said, we'd like to intervene in favour of transgenderism, intervene in favour of the view that a person can change sex. Now, the problem with that is that they come face to face with the word of God, that they're flying in the face of the word of God, that they're flying against Genesis 1:27, which tells us again that God made us male and female in his image. And if they reject the word of God, what right do they have to call themselves Christians? It seemed hard to impress upon the legal system that the Bible is the foundational document of the Christian faith. And if we want to understand the Christian faith, we must go back to the word of God, back to the Bible. And I would argue this, that if you say you are a Christian, but you deny that God made all things, and you reject his creation and his power in creation, and you make him, as it were, a little God who hasn't made everything and isn't in control of everything and hasn't made everything good, as we're told in Genesis, then your God isn't God at all. He is some kind of created being subject to the universe. What I'm saying is, what I'm saying to these theologians who say that Christians don't believe that God made all things, is that they are more akin to atheists than to Christians, because their God is not the God of the Bible, and he isn't a God who is sovereign in all his power. Nevertheless, the court has taken those to be representative of Christianity and has suggested that my Christianity isn't the real item. Well, we must get back to the Bible, to the word and to the testimony. So we must stand up for the Bible and what's taught in the Bible. And then you see, by the court saying that the view that God has made all things is not protected in the same way that other views are protected, by saying it is protected and isn't protected, which is a kind of very strange thing to say, in my humble opinion, as a doctor, not a lawyer or a judge, then essentially what they're saying is that Bible-based Christianity is wrong, that believing in God is wrong, that a belief in God is inferior to every other ism. Now, of course, Christians believe in God, but other people believe in God. They don't believe in the God of the Bible. I wish they did. But essentially, who is God? Who is God by definition? What are his essential attributes? What will we take away from God and then he would no longer be God? And if God isn't the creator of the universe and he isn't the sustainer of all things, if he isn't the first cause, if he is somehow subject to those things, then he isn't God. So what I'm saying is, the court's ruling is a challenge on belief in God, full stop. It's a challenge on the Christian faith as a whole. It's a challenge to every aspect of Christianity. And what we find, as we have found at other times in the history of the church, is that Christianity is considered to be an inferior doctrine and therefore subject to removal or prejudice. And the Equalities Act was set up to fight prejudice, but here we have a ruling under the Equalities Act which is highly prejudicial to the Christian faith. Now, as I said, we as Christians are often persecuted. In Australia, for example, the Australian Christian League has been denied access to government buildings on the grounds that it's offensive because it teaches Christian doctrine. And so mine is by no means the only case in different countries where Christian belief, Christian faith, Christian teaching, Christian assertion of truth is considered to be inferior to that of other isms. In my case, we're heading for a situation where transgenderism as an ideology, as a worldview, trumps every other ideology. And therefore, I have to continue fighting my case. We have to go to the next court up. We have to argue that not only is Christianity, not only is the belief that the Bible teaches us that all things were made by God worthy of consideration in a democratic society, and that it isn't incompatible with human dignity, but is rather the very source and fountain of human dignity, because we are made in the image of God, male and female in the image of God, that we need to take this to the next court up and argue not only that we should be allowed to believe this, but that we should be allowed to live by it. And that is the only way that the Equalities Act can function in my understanding. That if Christianity, Bible-based Christianity, as believed by millions of people across the globe, if Bible-based Christianity is considered an inferior doctrine, then the law can no longer protect us from totalitarianism, from despotism, from whichever ideology, whichever worldview happens to be in the ascendancy. And it seems that atheism, humanism, these things, including its outworking of humanism, including transgender movement, are in the ascendancy. So we have to fight. We fight for Christianity. We fight for our beliefs to be recognized as Bible-believing, historical Christianity, not the beliefs of a single nutcase who happens to call himself a Christian, but the faith of the fathers living still, the faith of Christians, the faith of people who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who have done throughout the centuries and who still do, the faith of those who take the Bible to be their final authority in all matters of faith and conduct. And as I've said so many times, we never set out to offend anybody. We merely set out to stand by what we believe. We believe that it is a lie to use pronouns in a new and exotic way, because it's a denial of what God has made. It's a denial of what science teaches us. We've said time and again that we were told during the lockdowns that we should follow the science. If we follow the science, we cannot support the belief that a man or a woman can change sex, can become a member of the opposite sex. If we follow the science, we cannot support the belief that there are, as the BBC is now saying, 150 genders, and no doubt an according number of pronouns that go with those genders. How can such a society survive? How can such a society pull through and establish itself for the generations to come? And so we must stand by the truth, and we must stand up for the truth, and we must fight on, and we will fight on. And I speak here of my legal team at the Christian Legal Centre, who have worked very hard, have done a fantastic job, and who are right behind us in this. And we've worked together closely on this, and we work together for the glory of God, and simply for the right as Christians to live according to our beliefs and according to the truth. Now I'm going to read just briefly and briefly comment on two verses and in the scriptures here. And that's from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Jesus says when these kinds of situations arise, when we are persecuted, and to make Christianity inferior to other beliefs is to persecute us, he says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Our God is in control. Our Saviour is on the throne of heaven. He sees this. He knows this. He's with us in this battle, in this fight for recognition. And he says that when this happens, we should rejoice and be exceeding glad. So let us rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world, and we have found him to be our Saviour from all sin, all of our sin. Now I want to close by just saying thank you to all of you who prayed. Many of you said that you were praying for this. We began with saying that the King's heart is like rivers of water, and that the Lord would turn those rivers wherever he chose. And the Lord has turned these rivers into this channel. And this is a channel which gives us a strong place to fight on from. So we give our thanks to the Lord for this. We must keep fighting. We must keep praying. And we will keep you informed of what's going on. But thank you for praying. Thank you for your intercession. And we will continue to stand up for the truth that Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world, that God made all things, and that he made us male and female in his image. Amen. Thank you for listening.